Hello, fellow carer. My name is Matthew McKenzie, a carer supporting someone through mental illness. Although I run many care forums in South London and engage with other carer groups and forums across London, I am dabbling in carer peer support. So that means I'm sharing my experience with other carers, looking to network, group up, connect, or at least have an understanding in their carer's role. Of course, the nature of running groups at carer centres is you cannot reach all carers, as you know there are hundreds of carers in many London boroughs, or perhaps much more. So I took it upon myself to make audio files that I can refer carers to, or that any other carer who cannot make the group can at least have a listen. Now, of course, I've come off my head and thinking that these audios are definitely aimed at mental health carers, hence carers who are caring for someone suffering mental illness. And just as a reminder, the audio is split into two parts, one educational and the other more uplifting. But what I'll try and do, I think the other one I did previously was quite long, so I want to, I don't want to talk too long, otherwise I'll end up with a sore throat. So let's just delve straight into it. And this topic is on supporting the person that you care for. I don't want to make it as like a step-by-step guide or hard and fast rule, because I want to make this audio a little bit more philosophical, because I don't think there's an absolute correct and right way to support the person that you care for. Obviously there is a completely wrong way, and that is obviously walk away. So, well, even then that's debatable, but I would say perhaps not even caring, or even worse, I would say accidentally bringing the person you care for to actual harm. It might be through neglect, it might be through ignorance, I don't know. But what I'm about to tell you aren't hard and fast rules, and I want them to be applicable to what you do and what you may perhaps even think of doing. So let's get a bit educational. When I talk about supporting the person that you care for, especially if you're like someone new to the caring role, one of the question a lot of carers ask themselves is, what does it actually mean to be a carer? Well, before I delve into that matter more, anyway, supporting the person the carer does care for, it would make sense to highlight that caring usually starts with the carer. For instance, no carer, then no caring. Now, of course, there are other means of care and support, but in this audio, it's usually about the unpaid carer, family or friend. But what does it mean to care? What does it mean to be a carer? It means different things to so many people. I just don't think there is just one answer to such a role, for what one might enjoy in the caring role, another person or another carer might find horrendous. And obviously it's also down to how unwell the cared for person is. I can only probably sum it up to be an experience where you serve as much as you can to someone that you care about. From those very duties, this is when a carer will strive to care. Still, it would be folly to provide adequate care if a carer does not ask this critical question, which is, what are they caring for? And does the carer know what they are dealing with, hence the specific person's illness? Now, these very questions should be in the back of the mind, or at least of the carer, but I would say at least at the start of the caring journey. I mean, the sooner a carer begins to ask themselves these things, the easier it will be in that caring journey. In fact, not even just at the start of the caring journey, but every step of the way. The cares for health can change any day, and what might be affecting the cared for initially may not be the situation for the cared for's health down the road. Yeah, I often mentioned carers to find out as much as they can about the mental illness as possible. Or better yet, even ask the cared for to also join them in understanding the illness that the carer, that the cared for has been diagnosed with. Other ways in supporting someone you are close to who has a mental illness is that it's best off to still take note that they're still human being. They're still a human being, and that what I mean by that is that the illness does not change them to the point that the illness defines them. And basically what I'm referring to is quite a big issue amongst the mental health terms and definitions that would be down to stigma, something that I will discuss in another audio. But it's definitely there. Now, every so often, a carer will notice sparks, and I say this for myself, who I'm caring for, there will be sparks of the older person or that person that you used to know, be it through actions, mannerisms, their character, their hopes, and even their dreams, and even fears and worries from the cared for. Now, apart from the mental illness, something in them has changed. And something of them is there when recovery is possibly close. Now, the reason I say this is if you can sustain, let's say, a good relationship with the cared for, with the person that you're caring for, you know, it can really help when you wish to, and you wish to support them and care for them. So you can avoid the dreaded C word, that being the confidentiality situation. In fact, it goes much further than that. Not just for the confidentiality's sake, but just having that relationship still there. I think sustaining a relationship through hard times is gold dust, because as I know, mental illness can be a wedge between relationships. Even if the person you care for wishes you to care for them and wishes for you to support them, it still is not enough, as you must seek ways to be involved in the mental health support system. Now, usually this means attending care planning meetings, doctor's appointments, medication reviews. Hence, the key here is being involved and being recognized as the primary carer to advocate for the cared for. Now, remember, it is not always about duty and providing the care. I usually think the best type of life is to be aware, and that is hence what I'm trying to say, is that you are alive and that you're not a robot completing commands. It might sound a bit silly, but if you're a carer, it should be a journey where both of you and the cared for can share and remember the experiences. And now I admit, you know, though it might be a bit much to ask to stop and smell the roses, I feel the reason why I'm saying this is that life can be short, and it should try at least be a situation where it can demand of the carer to be aware, to be in the moment at times, even if the life lesson can be awful, and it usually is. But what I tried to say to carers is that because you are caring, it shouldn't just define what you are. Hence how the mental illness defines the cared for. What I'm trying to say is that the carer shouldn't have their life ever weigh into duties and deeds. A really good way in supporting the person that you care for, remember, these are not hard and fast rules. They're flexible, and some of them are common sense. So this one I'm going to mention is common sense. If you're supporting the cared for, there should be a lot of planning in some point, and it's not easy for this one because you need help on that. So no one's going to tell you straight away, you know, this is how you do it. So I'm going to put a hard and fast rule in here, actually. If you can, certainly read the cares for care plan, you know, which is set out in co-production, in all done together with the care coordinator and the psychiatrist or the social worker and the cared for. Read that care plan. In fact, get the service user, get the cared for to understand their own care plan, because it's theirs. You know, it's there to help them. If there's something not right with it, they must raise it. The better the plan, the more support will actually help and mean something to them. Another thing I want to mention, and it might seem a bit hard on the carer, I suppose, because it's not an easy thing to do. Obviously, you want to be there, but I say to carers, look, you need, somehow, it's not easy, but you need to make sure that the cared for be as independent as possible. Although, I want to mention, it might not always be possible, but, you know, the most important information I can feel is that, if you can get the kid for to be more independent and more empowered as you possibly can, then I feel that the carer won't be used as a physical and an emotional crutch. Unless, you know, obviously when things goes to pot or becomes a disaster, that I can understand. But the more the kid for knows about their situation and how to cope, the less pressure it takes off the carer. So to wrap things up before I move on to the more uplifting and reflection section of this audio, is, you know, I just really want to avoid the hard and fast rules. Obviously, you can, as a carer, you can pick up a book and say, oh, this is useful, or you can pick up an NHS guide for carers and think, yes, this be useful, or you can even go for mental health training. Some trusts are offering that, and that might be useful, but I wanted to make it more flexible and adaptable to any carer. And I don't think there's a super duper way that you can be a best carer that you can be, because everyone has a different situation. In fact, what I'm basically saying is, it's not a one shoe fit all policy. Something that, again, I can be almost critical with the NHS. But anyway, if you are an unpaid carer, you know, please listen to this following audio. I do think that a lot of carers, unfortunately, do not get the uplifting, emotional, therapeutic support, and a lot of that can be, unfortunately, well, not much of it is aimed at the cared for. But anyway, reflectional and motivational section starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So you're now at the motivational section of this audio, which is about supporting the person that you care for. Now, if you are someone wanting to understand the world of a mental health carer, then I hope this section is useful. It's actually aimed at carers listening. However, if you are an unpaid carer like myself, welcome. Now, I know you've come this far in the audio and in your role because you want to continue to provide support and care. If I'm correct in my assessment of yourself, then I know you want to stick with supporting the person that you care for. This I try to hint to other carers, even when times can be really hard for them. It might seem wrong at times that I want carers to still hang in there, because to be honest, the carer has every right to walk away. But this audio is not about that today. I'm talking about hanging in there and supporting them. And the reason I'm saying that is just because someone has to walk away doesn't mean that they didn't care. You know, obviously something went wrong and a line had been crossed. As mentioned before, you know, you're a carer. You're still a person. You're a carer. And you are not a tool. You are not a resource. No matter how many ways a person puts it, you're not a resource. You're not something that comes out of a medicine bag or anything like that. In fact, you're not sticking plaster or a crutch to rest on, even though at times that might have to happen. You are human. You have your emotions, you have your feelings, your desires, your wishes. You know, just as the cared for is a human. And I think it would be tragic. It'd be really tragic to find that, you know, one day, you know, you're a former carer, but then that is all you have to remember that, you know, of your life. Still, it might be a daunting experience. And I ask you to experience as much as you can in your life, because life can be short and it can be fast. Please share that journey of recovery and hope with the person you care for. They're still there. Even if they don't seem it, there's still something of them there through that mental illness. Do things together that you would have normally have done if they were not so unwell. It's not only about care though, since it's, you know, it's not so bad to cook someone's dinner or get them cleaned up or do the chores or stick to an agenda each day. You know, we all know it's more than just about care. It's about love, basically. That's how I can put it. That's how I understand it. And, you know, you love the person that you care for, be it your child, you know, sibling, your wife or husband, close friend, even neighbor. You know, carers do things because they are emotionally invested with the person that they care for. And it's not about the money or the carer's benefit. I don't think it's ever been about that, and it shouldn't be. You know, it helps. It really does help if there was more money, but at the moment there isn't. But anyway, I will warn you this, that along with the love, along with the care, there is a lot of fear. You know, it goes with the territory. It's going to be a lot of anxiety. And it's definitely going to be a lot of worrying. It goes along with the role. Yes, it is about love, as I mentioned, but it's also about fear. You know, think about how, you know, many carers like yourself or like myself are wondering, you know, what if this is going to happen tomorrow at the back of their minds? You know, what's going to happen in the future? You know, what are they doing? You know, so no matter the outcome, as long as you're there, I think that is what counts. Even if, you know, you are a long distance carer, someone who can't physically be there, but they would try and phone to see how the cared for is doing. You're trying to make a difference in that person's life, even when I suppose their friends have left them and moved on. It's almost, I suppose, like a duty that you are making. Even I would say at worst outcome, you're bearing witness to their suffering and they become more isolated. Now, if I can get extra philosophical, sometimes, you know, we just do not know if we are really supporting someone or what it means to be caring for someone until we ourselves get older and look back at our life, questioning what have we done with our lives. And yeah, I know the pain and the horrible moments obviously will occur and you will feel helpless at times, but support them anyway. You have been listening to the Carer Audio Series, and I look forward to your listening ears next time. Good luck in your caring journey, and thank you for listening.